House Committee on Energy and Environment, come to order. All right, colleagues, we have our first bills up today, but we will start once again with a work session on bill introduction.
Chair Bailey, I move that the following LCs be introduced as committee bills: LC 2359, LC 3211, and LC 3283.
Vice Chair Johnson moves that the following LCs be introduced as committee bills: LC 2359, LC 3211, and LC 3283. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, any objection? Motion carries, and I will close the work session on bill introduction and open a public hearing on House Bill 2436. I'd like to call up Gary Bauer and Anthony Buckley. Thank you, gentlemen. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Gary Bauer, representing Northwest Natural. I'm appearing this afternoon in support of House Bill 2436. To give you a little background, that the bill really just makes some minor housekeeping amendments to the EAST program, which was developed actually by the Chair Bailey, and we appreciate all of his work over the years on this. EAST, just to give, for those who aren't aware, provides financing for residential and commercial energy efficiency and renewable energy projects by providing upfront funding for those programs, and then they're paid back on the utility bill. There was a pilot phase, and the provided for in the legislation, and in that process, a work group was put together that consisted of Department of Energy, the Public Utility Commission, utilities, vendors, consumer groups, and through that process, we've identified a couple of little changes we'd like to ask the committee to consider. First, in Section 1 of the bill, there are a couple of changes to definitions. One is adds a definition of primary contractor, and by doing so, it spells out that the contractor is the one who's responsible for the work, responsible for any work done by subcontractors. It also replaces the term sustainable energy territory with utility service territory. And the intent of this change is to basically simplify the boundaries. Currently, the law would allow territories primarily based around an electric utilities service area. For Northwest Natural, we actually have about 17 electric utilities in the areas we serve, and so this would allow us to combine those programs and have one energy efficiency provider there. The other primary change is in Section 12, and the current language states that if there is a change in ownership of the property, the utility is required to transfer the responsibility of the repayment of the loan to the new customer. The problem we have is that the utility holds no interest in the loan. We're not a party to those loans, and we don't really know what's going on at the time of sale. So by removing that requirement, it takes us out of that position. At the same time, if in the sale process the two parties want to transfer the loan, it's fine with us, and we'll just renegotiate, rework with that and put it on the bill. So with that, all the other changes are more kind of clarifying changes to be consistent with the changes in the definition. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Buckley.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Anthony Buckley. I'm with the Oregon Department of Energy. I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 2436. I won't bore you with the nitty-gritty details. The department has been managing the EAST program since the legislation was passed. Mr. Bauer has told you that the EAST program provides for financing for energy efficiency projects in residential and commercial homes. The Oregon Department of Energy's small-scale energy loan program, the SELP program, received approximately $5 million in lottery funds to carry out the EAST pilot program back in May of 2008. Under the EAST program, our department, the Department of Energy, has provided about $2.8 million in grants to various Oregon-based organizations for the purpose of piloting the EAST program to assist residential homeowners in obtaining low-cost, affordable financing for energy efficiency projects. To date, date, the East pilots have had an estimated $25 million economic impact in the state of Oregon. In my testimony, which has been provided, there's a chart that shows you the distribution of that $25 million throughout the state. Again, very brief comments, but I'm open to any questions.
Questions from the committee? Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Gary, could you elaborate a bit more on that Section 12 modification and how prevalent that occurs? I can imagine it could be a problem, but who's liable, who's not, who's ultimately going
to be. Sure, Bailey, Representative Johnson, I can't tell you how often it occurs. Again, part of the problem is that we're not party to those transactions, which actually makes it very difficult to then figure out whether or not we're supposed to transfer something. So as we've looked at it, and primarily going forward, we actually have roughly 1,300 customers that are taking advantage of this program. We're the largest number of customers for a utility. And so based on at least the limited experience but on those 1,300, we found that it'd be better to eliminate the requirement and just deal with this on a customer-by-customer basis.
Chair Bailey, Representative Johnson, if I may, one of the largest grants that we provided was Clean Energy Works of Oregon, and from our monitoring of their track record, their default rate is extremely low. So the experience, I would tell you, to date has been fairly good.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. I just want to say thank you to you guys, to you both. I think when this bill was passed in 2009, we envisioned the world looking one way, and now it looks a little bit different than that, and your hard work in making sure that this section of statute is up to date is very much appreciated. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Close the public hearing on House Bill 2436 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2220. Ms. Hoffman, would you like to kick us off?
Chair Bailey and members of the committee, my name is Margie Hoffman. I am Governor John Kitzhaber's Energy Policy Advisor, and just want to say thank you very much for having us here today, here to testify in support of House Bill 2220, which would create the State Building Innovation Lab. And I will go into the details, but first I want to go through some other programs that we have at the state. So Oregon has a long history of investing in energy efficiency for public buildings, and there are a number of reasons that we do that. One is that if we do energy efficiency in public buildings, we reduce the cost of operating those buildings. We also improve the health of those buildings and the health of the workers in those buildings. And we also, it's a great way to create jobs that can't be outsourced to other states. For example, the Oregon Department of Energy runs the State Energy Efficiency Design Program, and between the years of 2009 and 2010, we've conducted energy efficiency retrofits in a number of different buildings in all geographic regions throughout the state, and we've helped those public buildings and state agencies save over $3 million a year on their energy efficiency bills. In addition to that, with the leadership of Representative Bailey and a number of others in this chamber and also in the Senate, the legislature passed the Cool Schools legislation in the 2011 legislative session. That has been an incredibly successful program. We've leveraged to date a $175,000 investment in the state to create $21 million in economic activity to conduct energy efficiency retrofits in a number of schools throughout Oregon. For example, Corbett was one of 8 school districts that signed up in the fall for 2011. The Corbett School District Corbett School District now has a new boiler and a new control system that allows building managers to adjust the heat remotely. They used a small energy loan program also from the state of from the Department of Energy to pay for this. And over the next 15 years, the district will be able to pay off that loan through the savings generated in the installation of the new boiler. In addition, the Klamath County School District, just as another example, is looking forward to minimum annual savings of $214,000 a year. That's the difference between keeping or cutting two teachers. So energy efficiency is an incredibly important tool to help us reduce the cost of operations and maintenance of our budgets. What we want to do, as part of the governor's 10-year energy plan, we put forward the concept of the State Building Innovation Lab. We have identified over 4 million square feet of retrofittable commercial office space that's directly owned by the state, and there is additional office that we have for which we have long-term leases. So that's 57 million square feet of facilities. That sounds like a lot. What we want to do through the State Building Innovation Lab is enable a public-private partnership to leverage the success that we've had in the Cool Schools program to implement a similar model to allow us to retrofit state-owned buildings and, again, bring savings to those state agencies and the Department of Administrative Services so that we can free up that capital to be reinvested in programs to provide services to Oregonians. I'll cap it at that. Very simple concept. Great. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for Ms. Hoffman? Yes, Representative Boone.
Does this get paid for just out of their general budget, or how is it funded?
So there are a number of different financial mechanisms that we have available to us at the Oregon Department of Energy, and also the opportunity to enter into public-private partnerships. So, for example, we have the Small Energy Loan Program at the Department of Energy that has been, it's funny because Connecticut always brags about having a green infrastructure bank, and I say that's great, but we've had one for the last 30 years. The SELP program has invested a lot of money in public infrastructure projects that have a certain payback, and so that money can be leveraged. Also, the legislature enacted in the 2011 legislative session the energy incentive programs, which have they're capped at $30 million for conservation, but those are incentive programs that have traditionally been invested in public sector energy efficiency projects, public schools, public buildings, corrections institutions, you name it. So what we want to do is figure out what available resources that we have at the state that are existing, and also be able to leverage private capital investment through partnerships with energy services companies to enable this work to move forward. There are also utility dollars that come in to each of the schools and that we have available for energy efficiency programs as well.
Can you elaborate on those?
Sure. Although, Chair Bailey, Representative Boone, I need to get used to testifying again. There are other people in the audience who can probably explain this a lot better than I can, but we have public purpose charge monies for investor-owned utilities that that fund the Energy Trust of Oregon. The Energy Trust of Oregon manages those utility programs, and those utility programs provide energy efficiency services for commercial building owners and residents, public schools, public entities in investor-owned utility territory. And then for utilities that are public utilities, they get a lot of their energy, they get their energy efficiency money from the Bonneville Power Administration energy efficiency programs.
Representative, I'm going to cut you off for just a second because our Vice Chair Johnson needs to get to another committee to testify and wants to get a question in beforehand.
Margie, real quickly, I appreciate you bringing up the Corbett example. Obviously, they're in my district, and a great school district. But as I said, I think in our hearing here last Tuesday, whenever it was, we in my own school district did exactly what I think you're calling for, in that doing a total top-down evaluation survey. What can we do? Where can we get the most bang for our buck on energy retrofits and so forth? But we were able to do that in and of ourselves. Didn't need a state agency. We didn't need another someone to help us with that. So my question would be, why could the department not just simply pick up the phone, call McKinstry or some other ESCO, and just say, give us an RFP for these four, however many of square feet you're referring to, give us an RFP, put together a proposal, carry it out, get it done, that kind of thing, without having to create another level of what some of us might refer to as bureaucracy in a state agency. And I apologize, I have to run. So
it's okay. I'll answer for the record. I'll come back and circle around and see you. Chair Bailey, Vice Chair Johnson, what the department does is provide technical expertise and financial expertise. So the Cool Schools program is not a mandate that any school participate or reduce their energy savings by 20%. But for school districts who are who have technical staff and expertise, who know how to package these products, and who are comfortable negotiating with energy services companies and have the technical expertise that they need to do that, that's great. They do that on their own. What the Cool Schools program does is serve school districts who don't have the technical expertise on hand to know what an audit is, how to get an audit, what should be in a contract, what shouldn't be in a contract. And so this is really customer service for the public school districts in the state of Oregon who are interested in accessing ESCO contracts and working with ESCOs. And so we provide that technical expertise and the financial packaging expertise to school districts to make sure that every school district in the state, no matter what kind of technical expertise you have or don't have, can access energy efficiency retrofits for the health and well-being of our children and to save money on operations and maintenance.
Representative Boone, I'll come back to you. Did you have
I wondered if you had a number that you're looking for to raise. How much money is this going to need?
Chair Bailey, Representative Boone, we are not asking for any new money from the state of Oregon. What we are doing is putting together a public-private partnership that will leverage existing state resources through the SELP program, through the Energy Incentives Program, leverage private capital investment from private sector partners to enable this work to happen.
A follow-up. I guess I'm just asking how much you're talking about. No, I understand that it's putting it together.
Chair Bailey.
Total impact,
yeah,
Representative?
Yeah. Chair Bailey, Vice Chair Boone, I don't have that number in front of me today. I know that we have 4 million square feet of retrofittable office space. Some of those audits have been conducted. Other audits have not been conducted. And so until we have a good inventory, both of available buildings and audits for all of those buildings, that's when we'll be able to understand what the total economic opportunity is for the state of Oregon. I will double check with the department that I'm not missing that information and certainly circle back with you if I am.
One last tiny one. Are you going to be considering seismic retrofits or upgrades at the same time, if that's possible to do that?
Chair Bailey, Vice Chair Boone, seismic is very difficult. So one of the things that we get when, this is a question that comes up all the time because we all have to figure out how we pay for seismic retrofits to our schools. To the extent that we can generate savings on energy bills that will allow that money to be reinvested in seismic upgrades, that may be an opportunity, but I don't want to set expectations high because we really need a funding mechanism to finance the seismic retrofits that need to happen in all of our public schools. So there may be a creative way that we're able to incorporate that, but it's not going to be in every case, and every building in the state is different. Every school district is different. All of their needs are different. So to the extent that we can, certainly.
I was just wondering, is the term incentivize partially correlative to the term subsidize in your discussions? You use the term incentivize a lot. Does that include subsidies from the state?
Chair Bailey, Representative Whitsitt, what we do is if the state can put in money to help these projects happen, it's often a but-for situation. So but-for the small energy loan program, a lot of people wouldn't be able to have a lending institution where they could go get money to do that. That's not an incentive program, that's a loan. We've found in the conservation energy incentive programs, but for that incentive, institutions wouldn't be able to do the work, the energy efficiency work that they need to do. So every entity will have different needs. They'll have different financial needs. Some of them might be able to tap into an energy incentive program. Some of them might just tap into the loan. Some of them will tap into both. The end goal here is to reduce the operations and maintenance costs for our state-owned buildings so that we can reinvest that capital in our programs.
So is the answer yes?
Chair Bailey, Representative Whitsitt, I would say it just depends on how you look at the situation. But yes, we are partnering with them to put in money. Whether you consider that a subsidy or not, I think, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
You missed a great answer.
I'm sure it was.
You're all astounded up here. It was.
I'll come see you.
You have to watch the video.
Get the ball rolling.
Replay. Great. And I'll go ahead and call up Cam Hamilton and Tom Konecki. Tom wanted to see.
Yeah. Nice to see you all again. Tom Konecki with McKinstry, and I lead the Energy and Facility Services team. I happen to be the team that Representative Johnson is referring to with some of the work that we were just describing earlier. So I'm happy to be here. And we're here in support and testimony for House Bill 2220, and that's the creation of the Energy Conservation and Efficiency Innovation Laboratory. McKinstry is a member of the Northwest Energy Efficiency Council, Business Association of the Energy Efficiency Industry, and NEEC's mission is to promote policies and programs that enhance market opportunities for energy efficiency. As I say, McKinstry supports this bill and the creation of the Energy Conservation and Efficiency Innovation Lab, and we thank the Governor's Office and this committee for its work on this bill. More specifically, McKinstry believes that this bill is an opportunity for Oregon to maintain a national leadership status in building energy efficiency. More specifically, McKinstry supports energy labeling, whole building retrofits, and new incentive approaches. This bill takes important steps towards supporting this opportunity through provisions A, B, C, D, F, and G. So just to keep things brief, as I said, we're in support of it, and we appreciate the time to testify. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Hamilton.
Chair Bailey, Vice Chairs, and members of the House Committee on Energy and Environment, thank you for the opportunity to testify today on behalf of House Bill 2220, a bill that requires the State Department of Energy to develop a strategic plan related to the creation of an Energy Conservation and Efficiency Innovation Lab that promotes energy conservation and efficiency in buildings and groups of buildings owned or leased by the state. For the record, my name is Cam Hamilton. I am the Business Development Manager in Oregon for Ameresco Quantum, a subsidiary of Ameresco. Ameresco is a leading energy services company in North America, providing comprehensive energy efficiency and renewable energy solutions to federal, state, municipal, commercial, and industrial clients. As a Northwest business unit of Ameresco, Ameresco Quantum brings more than a decade of experience providing energy efficiency solutions to schools, communities, businesses, and government entities in Oregon and the Pacific Northwest. Currently, our company is providing comprehensive energy efficiency solutions to Portland Public Schools and Reed College. Ameresco is a member of the Northwest Energy Efficiency Council, NEEC, a business association of energy efficiency, Business Association of the Energy Efficiency Industry. NEEC has stated as a stated mission, which is to promote policies and programs that enhance market opportunities for energy efficiency. Today, I'm here on behalf of Ameresco in support of House Bill 2220, a bill to create the strategic plan related to the creation of the Energy Conservation and Efficiency Innovation Laboratory in Oregon. In Ameresco's view, House Bill 2220 is a bill which promotes leading by example through the creation of a state building innovation laboratory and a strategic plan to utilize the laboratory. Oregon state-owned buildings will have a comprehensive framework for towards reducing their energy intensity by 20% over the next 10 years. House Bill 2220 will support the state's efforts to reduce its energy consumption, to restore its aging infrastructure, and to revitalize its state-owned buildings and facilities. By creating and strategically deploying this laboratory, Oregon will identify and capitalize on the opportunities to save energy and save capital expenditures which are currently spent towards maintaining and operating buildings. As Ameresco understands, this laboratory seeks to create a comprehensive framework to audit and assess viable opportunities for energy conservation in state-owned buildings, and seeks to create public-private partnership funding models to finance those energy efficiency improvements. Such alternative financing mechanisms, including energy savings performance contracting, partner state agencies with private sector companies that have demonstrated experience by designing, arranging financing, and implementing energy efficiency projects for governmental agencies. Funding models such as the performance-based contracting for energy savings enable public entities to revitalize their energy infrastructure without appropriated dollars. House Bill 2220 also calls for the development of pre-qualified qualification criteria for contractors who can provide bids or proposals for conservation and energy efficiency audits, energy conservation measures, and energy retrofits. Ameresco supports this pre-qualification of such energy contractors. House Bill 2220 would also require the identification of certain energy conservation and energy measures, energy efficiency measures that increase energy savings by at least 20% or more than established baselines over a period of 10 years. Ameresco supports the state's efforts to reduce its energy intensity through utilization of comprehensive energy conservation and energy efficiency measures in its state-owned buildings. Ameresco encourages this committee and the state to take a holistic approach towards achieving energy savings. In short, House Bill 2220 is an important next step in examining and addressing the opportunities for energy savings throughout the state owned building stock by deploying a comprehensive plan which seeks to reduce the energy intensity of these facilities over the next 10 years. Oregon can further support the environmental integrity of the region by saving energy and water and reducing the emissions associated with inefficient building systems and aging infrastructure. Again, Ameresco appreciates the opportunity and thanks the committee for this opportunity to testify on this energy efficiency legislation. At this time, I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Questions for this panel? Representative Reardon.
Thank you. I'm new, so I'll probably ask them both questions that everybody already knows the answers to. But so we just simply want to do a study. Is that correct? And
that may be a question for Ms. Hoffman.
I'm just trying to simplify it.
Chair Bailey, Vice Chair Johnson, we actually want,
record again, just
my name is Margie Hoffman, I'm Governor John Kitzhaber's Energy Policy Advisor. We actually, the legislation will need to be amended. This is not just a study bill. What we want to do is enable the work to happen. So we want to get an inventory of available buildings that need to be retrofitted and make sure that we have everything in place to be able to put the buildings on a timeline and be able to retrofit them so that over the course the next 10 years we can reduce energy consumption by 20%.
So if I may clarify, you're introducing a concept here. There will be more
yes.
work to come on this and engagement, and we'll be able to hear back from you on the progress that you've made on that.
Chair Bailey, that's correct. So we'll be working individually with all of you on amendments to this bill before we actually ask you to move the bill.
Vice Chair Johnson. Oh, sorry. Representative Denver.
Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm just backing up to the overall frame for this. So how is this exactly a laboratory, Margie? I mean, when I think of a laboratory, I think of a place where people mm-hmm. do experiments and find the truth, et cetera. So what... How is this a lab?
Chair Bailey, Representative Dembro. So it's not an actual physical brick-and-mortar laboratory, but I think the long-term energy efficiency is the least cost resource. It is less expensive. It is cheaper to not use an electron of energy, a unit of energy, than it is to produce a unit of energy. So that is why we have had energy efficiency programs on the books for decades. That's why in the governor's 10-year energy plan, we want to focus on maximizing energy efficiency and conservation, because again, that is the cheapest way to meet new demand for energy for the state. So part of what we need to do in maximizing emphasizing energy efficiency and conservation is actually begin to scale energy efficiency and conservation. So when we look at how we can aggregate buildings across all state agencies or all DAS-owned buildings, we're doing a number of things. We're not just accomplishing the energy efficiency work, we're also collecting data and aggregating that data so that we can prove up energy efficiency to insurance companies and to lenders to create, the end goal is to create a secondary market for energy efficiency loans in the private sector, much like we have for mortgages, for credit cards, and for things like that.
Representative Pence.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm glad you mentioned DAS because I'm kind of surprised they haven't already been doing this. Aren't they already doing this?
I would say, Chair Bailey, Representative Bence, we have had a lot of people that, so Kulongoski issued an executive order in the last administration. So there are a lot of agencies that have been early adopters, and that's where that $3 million we've already saved between 2009 and today, we've saved over $3 million on energy utility bills for state agencies. So we are working with DAS to collect that information.
Hold on, Ms. Chair.
Currently.
It just seemed to me, when I read the bill, that good idea, but it seemed to me that it was being done by DAS, and it was very probably being done by each agency, and also very probably being done by the Energy Trust, and very probably being done by almost every school district. So what I saw was, everyone's going to disagree about what we're trying to do, it's just that I wonder if it's not already being done by a whole group. So I'll look forward to talking to you about the concept, but I would sure like to see who all is already doing this, because I think we have a lot of company in this effort.
Chair Bailey, Representative Bence, you're absolutely correct, we do.
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Margie, another question, more kind of comprehensive question, in that there are other needs that state buildings have, and sometimes we see about that, i.e. seismic concerns and so forth, structural concerns. And one of the things that sometimes happens is we go through and we take care of this need in a building or series of buildings, and then two or three years later we come back through again and we do a whole nother comprehensive remodel, this kind of thing. Has there been any thought to maybe combining the purposes? If in fact there's a need in a facility for some sort of seismic upgrades, and while we have a ceiling opened up to do some retrofits for HVAC or whatever, that we take care of that kind of stuff too? Just again, from the school district perspective, when we did our energy upgrades, we also did some things that benefited us that needed just stuff to have to do, just to modernize facilities and so forth, but it was a more efficient way to do that. So I'm just wondering if anybody's thought about that from the state agency perspective. If we're going to go through and do things to our buildings, that we do everything we absolutely have to do, let's say, for the next 20 or 30 years, and it's done. Just a thought.
Chair Bailey, Vice Chair Johnson, thank you so much for raising that point. The answer is absolutely. If we're going to open up the guts of a building, we're not just going to focus on one system. To the extent that we can, to the extent that we have money available today, we need to focus on all systems and the building envelope. That's across a single building. The other thing about State Building Innovation Lab is what happens if we're not only just talking about measure by measure by measure, but we're talking about not just building by building by building. What happens if we aggregate every single state building or, 10 buildings, so that again you're leveraging single project, you're reducing the cost for all of these what would be independent projects because they're now a single project across a single state agency or across a set of buildings in what if we do the Capitol Mall? So absolutely, we think about that on a daily basis. And I think it's really important, we're in a really tough economy right now and the budget is not, we're literally pulling apart couch cushions to try to find ways to make this stuff happen and looking for that upfront cost of capital. And so to the extent that we can leverage state investment, and that's what Cool Schools did, $175,000 investment from the state, we've generated over $21 million in economic activity, and that's just the first couple phases of a four-phase pilot program. So I really appreciate your point, and that's absolutely something that we incorporate into what we do.
And Ms. Hoffman, if I'm not mistaken,
correct to say that House Bill 2960, Cool Schools, has within it an overlap between seismic Article M&M bonds and energy efficiency retrofits and provides a prioritization for schools that are tearing open the guts and doing both. Is that right?
Chair Bailey, thank you for that. Yes.
Representative Bruin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Margie, and I'm all for this too. I'm not trying to drill down on you, but Vice Chair Johnson brought that up, just what you explained, and that's exactly what you're going to see. And since the Oregonian already blew the lid off our seismic resilience plan, you'll see that in that recommendations to do just that and make sure that we kill two birds with one stone, so to speak, so we don't waste money doing it again and redoing something. And so I hope that any kind of financial deals, and I guess what I'm saying is anything that would have been used for something else isn't being absconded with to do something and it will leave somebody else short somewhere. But on this issue, it talks about the model must, these models must include a description of methods to reduce financial risk to the state, and that money being the key in all this. I think it was 2001, the voters voted to seismically upgrade all public buildings and to the tune of about $2 billion. And we don't really have all that laying on the floor of Ways and Means Office right now. But, I'm glad that the governor has put some money in his budget to, albeit not that much, but, it's a start to do this. And I'm just hoping that when we do, we can collaborate and work together. And we found out when we started that whole effort of the resilience plan, people literally worked across the hall from each other but didn't know they were working on the same things. And so as much as you can, I would encourage to, while you're doing these audits, to make sure that you say, is there a seismic need here? Because I can guarantee you most schools do built before certain dates, and buildings too. And it would really be a better use of the money, I think, in the long run.
Thanks for the comment, Representative. Representative Mintz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been sitting here asking myself why I'm going to raise this issue, but I'm going to. One of my constituents, in response to the unfortunate situation, which is understated dramatically in Connecticut, suggested that we should be looking at a much broader scope of safety than just seismic and just the quality of the air the children are breathing. And so I would ask that in your consideration of how broad you're going to make this, you take that safety, that element of safety into consideration also. And it gets way too expensive, way too fast, but as long as we're talking kids' safety, we kind of need to bring that up.
Thank you. Okay, thank you to this panel.
Thank you.
I'll call up Alan Hickenbottom and John Morris.
Yeah. He's going to.
And whoever would like to go first.
Good afternoon, Chairman Bailey, Vice Chairs, members of the committee. Thank you very much for this opportunity to testify on Bill 2020. My name is Alan Hickenbottom. I manage the Renewable Energy and Energy Efficiency Division for Christensen Electric, a 70-year-old Oregon company headquartered in Portland. We employ about 350 union, non-union folks doing General Electric, but also a great deal of renewable energy efficiency business in the state. Just wanted to briefly give our support towards this bill. We think it creates the opportunity for some data sharing, leveraging of existing resources. Speaking to Representative Ben's comments about lots of people doing this, we think that they are. We think the bill gives us the opportunity to begin to bring some of that information and effort together for leverage. I think some of the earlier comments around building labeling, energy measurement, whole building retrofits, and the looking at new incentive proposals have a great deal of possibility in moving the ball forward. So I don't want to repeat what has been said before. We think this bill would accomplish some great things for the state and would be happy to answer any questions, and thanks again for the opportunity.
Great, thank you. Mr. Morris.
Thank you, Chair Bailey and House Energy and Environmental Committee members. Especially pleased to see my rep, Mr. Dumbrow, here. very happy about that. For the record, my name is John Morris with Fluid Market Strategies. I'm the Director of Client Services and Energy Policy. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify today. Fluid Market Strategies is an energy efficiency consulting firm. We implement energy efficiency programs for Bonneville Power, Energy Trust of Oregon, and a number of public utilities throughout the four states, including Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana. We have over 110 employees based here in Oregon, with having 40 in the last 3 months. Fluid is also a member of the Northwest Energy Efficiency Council. Much as Cam had mentioned earlier, we are a proud member of that organization and look to further the industry association there. Fluid is in support of House Bill 2220, the creation of energy conservation and efficiency. We believe there's three key points here that I was impressed with. I think it's A, the identification of energy conservation and energy retrofits that can be undertaken. I want to stress on the comprehensive approach to that. Let's go in, get it done once. Let's not find them one off. I also thought that the 20% increase was a good number. That's doable, and in some cases could be a stretch, but I think it's a good number to start with. And I also am in support of the funding models and that mixture between the private sector to get this work done. And that is my testimony, and I'm more than happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you both very much. Questions from this panel? Yes, Representative.
I noticed you mentioned the 20% over 10 years, so are you dividing that out so it's about 2% a year, or how do you come up with the 20% over 10 years? If your projects, what is the total or completion time that you expect on one of these buildings? I'm just trying to figure out how you came up with that 20%.
There's probably a number of folks that could answer that. I think Cam might be able to address it, and Margie, in terms of the baseline of the 20% over the 10-year period. But anybody back there want to help?
Cam, Tom, I think Cam might have left. Mr. Buckley, would you like to come up?
Anthony Buckley again with the Oregon Department of Energy. Chair Bailey, Representative Whitsett. The 20% savings is meant to be an annual savings year over year. Can I expand more?
Go ahead. I'm trying to figure out why you're limiting it to 10 years then. Right? 20% over 10 years?
Okay. Chair Bailey, Representative Whitsett. 10 years is probably, and I'm probably out of my depth here, but 10 years is that the known time frame. It could extend much longer. What happens in these projects, to my understanding, is that you could have behavioral changes that impact that savings. It could be good or bad, but that 10-year is that sweet spot, as I understand it. If you have good residents in the building, or good tenants, you will extend that savings on into a future longer than 10 years.
Follow-up. So then is it really 200% over 10 years? Cumulative?
Chair Bailey, Representative Whitsett, I honestly am trying to understand. A cumulative piece is what you're asking, is a cumulative 200?
If it's 20% a year for 10 years, that would mean you would have a 200% savings, I assume, in your energy over a 10-year time period. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think there's a good way to answer that question. I apologize.
We'll follow up with you on that.
Chairman Bailey, I think I understand your question, and I also want to speak a little bit to the 10-year, because that's an interesting, get too far down the weeds here about energy efficiency. There's a persistence issue that I think this bill actually helps us get at. In the efficiency business, there's this curve of the sweet spot that Mr. Buckley refers to, that within that 10 years, we can be pretty assured we're going to get those savings. But what we've seen over time is they tend to trail off. But one of the goals of this bill, I think, and we see it in our commercial business as well, is to learn more and more about how to maintain that persistence in the efficiency. So the goal would be that we save that 20% forever. existing efficiency data would tell you that that tends to trail off. We'd like to get at that curve, and there are actually a lot of efforts towards that. That really is the holy grail of efficiency, is not the first 5 or 10 years, but getting to persistence. So I think if that makes sense, and so again, I really think that efforts like this in gathering the information and leveraging what we've learned and the ability to spread across multiple agencies or entities help us start to get at that persistence curve, which is really a big deal.
Representative Reed?
Well, I love the concept. I think if we can do this as a state to our own buildings, it provides an excellent model. Maybe commercial buildings would follow in our footsteps, so I think it's a great idea. I am just, like I said earlier, I'm a little new to this, so either today or at some future meeting, I'd like a little better understanding of exactly what some of the deliverables are and what they cost and who's paying for it. I thought we were starting off when, and I just got this late, so I thought we were talking about a study. And now through the conversation, it sounds like the study is we're tearing buildings apart and retrofitting things already. So I don't know which we're doing right now. So if we could clarify that, are we studying or are we doing?
I think this would be an ongoing discussion, Representative.
And I can wait for that answer. Yeah. Just want to make sure you know what's on my mind. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Great.
Chair Bailey, Representative Wheeler, if I may, just to the first part of your question, because I think it's important for the committee to understand. While we talk about state buildings, the actual concept, the long-term planning on this, is to create an entryway. We've got interest from the local communities who are actually now knocking on our door saying, we're ready to do this. What can you do to assist us? To move from state to local to the commercial sector.
Yeah, great.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Okay, seeing no further people wishing to testify, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2220 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2344. Chair Buckley, are you first on this?
I don't know. Would
you like to be?
Yeah, I can. I'm here.
Yeah. You are, in fact, first and only on this. So. Please proceed.
Okay. Chairman Bailey, members of the committee, again, for the record, my name is Anthony Buckley. I'm with the Oregon Department of Energy, and I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 2344, Public-Private Partnership Financing for Energy Projects. I would open by telling you this is a complement to the bill we just discussed. For background, the Oregon Department of Energy coordinates the Small-Scale Energy Loan Program, known as SELP, and provides energy efficiency and technical and business assistance to state and local governmental units for the construction and reconstruction of public buildings. Oregon law does not explicitly provide ODO with flexibility to enter into public-private partnerships and agreements. What this bill does, 2344 provides ODO the explicit authority to enter into public-private partnership agreements with state, local, tribal, and federal governments and private entities for energy efficiency projects. These projects would contribute to the state's energy savings goals and would help meet the objectives of the State Buildings Innovation Lab and the Cool Schools programs. The agreements or other arrangements may include project financing, planning, acquisition, development, design, construction, reconstruction, replacement, maintenance, repair, leasing, and operation of energy projects or other agreements. The public-private partnership model for the State Building Innovation Lab would allow the Department of Energy to prioritize and manage the needs for energy efficiency building upgrades under the public-private partnership model. Without the ability to retrofit hundreds of state buildings under one contract, the contracting and procurement process would be unmanageable. In summary, House Bill 2344 provides clear authority to the Department of Energy to enter into public-private partnerships that will increase participation by other state agencies, governments, and private organizations and entities in the development and financing of small-scale local energy projects. With that, I'm open to any questions.
Thank you. Seeing no questions, Representative Betts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It seems surprising that you haven't needed this before now. What is it that prompts this now? Has something changed? What's new that requires this?
Chairman Bailey, Representative Benson, excellent question. The intent behind this bill, it actually pushes the SELP program back to its niche focus, where its early successes were. As I said, the program doesn't have explicit authority to do public-private partnerships. The authority is in there, but it's fragmented throughout the statutes. Our intent is to provide that explicit authority and link it to the State Buildings Innovation Lab.
And Mr. Buckley, is it your understanding that there are private sector entities that are out there that are perhaps now interested in taking advantage of such a public-private partnership arrangement?
Chair Bailey, absolutely.
Representative Denver.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just following up on that, so what would be an example of a public-private partnership? Would that be an ESCO working with a state entity?
Chair Bailey, Representative Embrow, another excellent question. It gets at some of the details. In this, the example of the public-private partnership we envision does include an ESCO, but not only an ESCO. We're talking about our agency partners. Department of Administrative Service is in this partnership. They are the, for all intents and purposes, they are the agency landlord for the state. It encompasses not just the ESCO, but other partners beyond the ESCO, state agencies, local governments, and other service providers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just following up. I'm just wondering about the private part of the partnership.
Yeah. Chair Bailey, Representative Denbro, the private part would be that ESCO and other complementary private sector services.
Right. And private sector capital, perhaps?
Yes, sir.
Representative Benz?
Follow up, actually. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I'm worried about the public side of the partnership. And in order to need this authority, you need to have funding and more stuff that you have to be doing in order to provide that public side of this partnership. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot more going on here than just this little bit of authority. Mm-hmm. And the piece that I'm missing is that first piece, which we don't have yet. We just heard that earlier because it's in that other bill. Am I right there, or mm-hmm. because that's what I heard was the need for this new authority? And what I'm worried about is this is a car before the horse, and I want to see what the horse looks like. Mm-hmm. So I haven't seen it yet.
Chair Bailey, Representative Benz, you're correct to an extent. The public side of this is the SELP program. The repayment for any loans taken through SELP under this model is really looking at that avoided cost savings, using the funding that the savings that the project throws off to repay the debt. The goal is to protect and put a firewall up against any intrusion or any risk to having the general fund have to front additional monies to SELP.
Thank you. Well, I'm anxious to see it, mm-hmm. But until I do, this bill would be difficult for me to support. So I'm looking forward to that conversation that we talked about earlier, just so I can see more of the need for this particular authority.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Chair. I'm a little concerned with some of the broad-ranging, let's say, or open-ended language that I see in here, i.e. giving the director of the department the authority to adopt rules or take any other action, so forth, related to this. Where's the oversight in terms of what actions or what partnerships or whatever are going to be taken on by the department? It seems like it's, in a lot of ways, kind of a blank check, if you will, to go ahead and do whatever you think is appropriate.
Chair Bailey, Representative Johnson, I would tell you that yes, the language there appears broad, and we have some suggested amendments to tighten that up. Again, we want this to be focused specifically on the public purpose, on state buildings, local governmental buildings, tribal buildings, and the Cool Schools program. I can't really answer you on how broad those authorities are today in the language that concerns you. I can tell you that our goal is to run a conservative program and tighten down so that it doesn't get out of hand. Part of the testimony on the last bill is building that strategic plan.
We'll look forward to seeing some of those amendments and that language refining. Thank you.
It sounds like we have a strategic plan in development in one part, and we have a financial mechanism or authority, I guess, in development on the other part. So we'll look forward to continuing conversations on both of these bills, I take it.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mr. Buckley? Okay, is there anybody else who wants to testify on this particular bill? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2344. Colleagues, 45 minutes. Use them wisely. We need to adjourn.
Chair, very well. Very good.
It's a race.